Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have... Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tark.
This week, we're taking a look back at David Cronenberg's remake of The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis.
And a lot of special effects.
And a lot of goo.
Yeah, actually, the special effects. He gets the thing.
Effects Chris Wallace.
Wow, he really did his best work, I think, on this film. This is one of those seminal movies that you remember seeing when you were a kid and being freaked the fuck out. I mean, it's just so freaking horrifying,
now,
isn't
it? When we talked Ghostbusters, we talked about remakes.
Yeah.
This is a remake done right.
Yeah, it is. I don't disagree at all.
I mean, if I had a choice between watching Vincent Price's Fly and this Fly, I'm watching this one.
Yeah. I mean,
that the original one was bad.
Yeah.
It's just
This
is, as far as I'm concerned, a bit more watchable by today's audiences.
Oh, definitely. It definitely ages well. And that's surprising, considering that it's 30 years old.
His computer has voice recognition before Windows.
I know. It just blows my mind. Well, I mean, that's a special
When the hell did voice recognition for computers even come out? Let me see here.
I don't know, but it sure isn't Dragon speaking naturally, is it?
Oh, no, that came out in the 90s. I remember when Dragon first came out, I beta tested it.
It surprised me. You know, it suddenly clicked for me that 1986, we're in a 6 year. How old is this? Oh my God. You know, I can't believe that it's 30 years old. That really makes me feel old now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it does. The DARPA speech understanding research program began in the 70s. So I suppose it's technically possible for someone with high tech access to get a speech recognition,
well, that's when they started working.
Computer.
In 16 years, they have to have gotten somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it would have been as fine-tuned as to tell the difference between Seth Brundle and slightly mutated Seth Brundle.
I don't know. Let's see here. In 1987, they came out with a toy doll, says the World of Wonders Julie doll, was billed as the doll that understands you.
Really?
So apparently, by the time this movie was released, they had some sort of workable voice recognition software. I did not realize that.
In a toy. What year was that?
1987, according to this.
Huh. I know Teddy Ruxpin wasn't anything.
No, Teddy Ruxpin, the only thing
tape player.
Right, it recorded you and played it back, or you can pop in a tape of his own things, and his mouth would move with the sound.
I remember
really,
that.
It wasn't really voice recognition.
And Furby, the first Furbies, those weren't strictly voice recognition. It was just slow unlocking of the English language that was already stored within it.
Right.
It already knew all its words. It was just slowly unlocking it the more you talk to it.
Right. Okay, back to the movie.
Yeah. So, I can't imagine anyone else playing the role of Seth Brundle.
No, he did very
Jeff
well. Jeff
Goldblum, he was
very
perfect
iconic.
For it. I loved, as he started his transmorphification, I can say words. I loved those little head movements he would do, where he tried to envision what a human with fly, you know, a fly in a human body would
do. Yeah, the very
do,
quick,
you know?
Jerky motions and stuff, mm-hmm.
And I loved the way that they translated those movements into the creature effects later on. That was fantastic.
Vincent Price, I believe you quoted this to me. Vincent Price was saying that Jeff Goldblum and Vincent Price had a conversation or shared a letter or something like that. And Price said that they did it right up until a point.
Right. Yeah. No, it was, Vincent Price said this after seeing the premiere.
Right.
He attended the premiere and said they went a little bit too far. And I think maybe he's just, he was too old to appreciate.
As much as Vincent is known for the horror community and stuff like that, he does not really approve of things that are grotesque.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's all about shadows on the wall.
Yeah.
And suggestion.
The point where it crossed the line for Vincent was when his body parts started falling off.
Yep. I think that was just more than he was willing.
Okay, that's a bit much for Vincent Price.
For you and me.
When you've grossed out Vincent Price, you've gone too far. Okay, so as the story goes, quirky scientist tries to build teleportation pods to rid the world of its need for transportation, trucking, and airplanes, and who knows, maybe something on the moon. We could go to the moon with these things.
I like that the story is pretty much the story from the original.
Yes,
it's not like they fudged with the soul of the story at all. They didn't try to reinterpret it by fudging with the basis of the story at all.
The only real difference between the two teleportation systems is the one from the 50s tried to emphasize wireless, like a television. And the pods in this one definitely had cables.
Yeah. Well, that and one big difference between the two different stories is a practical one in which in the original – it was a head swapping kind of thing. And in the remake here, it's a, integration, a combination.
Right. DNA splicing. He slowly starts to become a fly-like creature.
Mm-hmm. Part human, part fly. Really is. I mean, even when he fully transmogrifies, it's still got that kind of human fleshy look to it.
Yes.
Gina Davis isn't his wife, of course. It's, somebody who has to get to know him
right
from the beginning, as a complete stranger, just like we do. So we're kind of living the movie through her experience.
Right. So he goes through the machine. A fly is in the system. Wouldn't the monkey would have had fleas on it?
I imagine being a laboratory animal, it would have been a lot better cared for than, your common zoo animal.
But then
or somebody out in the wild. So no, I would say no fleas on a lab animal. But you got to kind of wonder, it has to be a mass thing,
Maybe the DNA because, mass of a flea wouldn't have affected the monkey as much.
Yeah, or the machine would have been programmed to discount it,
Well, because I'm sure they would have to program it to discount food in the stomach.
Food, microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, all these, this genetic stuff.
Yeah, got to put something in the line of code there. Anything that's not me that's smaller than a baseball.
and really, you could kill somebody running them through this machine if it just completely discounts any genetic material.
I can see
that
it now.
That isn't you. Because if you strip out all the microorganisms in your gut, you're going to have a hard time eating food for a while.
Yeah, you'd be back to eating baby food, basically.
Pretty much.
But can't you imagine? I mean, he just had steak. Just he shows up on the other side with a T-bone. With a T-bone through his skull.
Oh no! It would have been a genetic merging, so it would have read the genetics of the material. So it would have been
instead of the fly, it would have been the cow.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Oh,
my scrotum is started lactating milk. The cow coming this week.
Did you see? Oh boy, I can't find it now. I found it last week when we didn't record. as planned. It was a parody video from some Canadian comedy show where they did a short scene using the set from The Fly, with the pods and everything, except the guy came out of the second pod as a huge anthropomorphized version of a zipper on the fly. You know?
Oh, God. No, I did not see that. If you find it, link it to me.
Oh, that's hang on a second. I'm sure I can find this quickly.
But that's not going to help our podcast audience, though. So.
Yeah.
Do we have a podcast audience? I'm not sure. But what the hell? Sure, we're doing this
I'm
anyway.
I'm sure both of them will enjoy the podcast.
Both of them, yes. Both you of and them. Me. Hey, according to this, we had two viewers. Oh. One's in Seattle, the other one's in Texas.
Really
wait a minute.
Can you really call them viewers, though, really? I mean, it's
listeners,
all...
podcast junkies.
Podcast junkies.
Jethel's girls.
Jethel's girls? I think you're... That's...
Oh, Jethel's girls was a thing in EQ2. Anyway, moving on. So, Jeff Goldblum, fantastic in this role.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, I mean, he got buffed for this, didn't he?
He worked out big time. And I really couldn't imagine any of the other people that I read that were up for the role doing what he did to get into this role.
Right. I mean, Elkin loves him in this one. He's like, Jeff Goldblum is so hot in this movie. Okay, then.
Well, until he started to change. until Brundlefly began to emerge.
The Brundlefly.
So have you ever seen any of the deleted scenes for this film?
No, but I understand that there is a cat scene.
Yeah, I went to see it earlier. It's a baboon cat combination. And
he beats to death with a crowbar or something like that?
With a pipe, yeah. And in any film where you have to beat an animal to death with a pipe, you're just going to lose connection with the character, with what is ostensibly the protagonist. You know, this scientist.
We're going to cut this scene out.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, they left it in for test audiences, and the test audiences were like, no.
No, that's going too far.
I mean, I think it would have been fine to just let the creature die there, you know, have it die because of its, you know, state, because of the state it was in, instead of having him beat it to death.
Besides, if he did an experiment with two creatures going through, don't you think he'd be a little careful putting himself through? He would actually inspect that friggin' pod a little carefully?
This was after. He was trying to see what the deal was and how, and if he could disintegrate, not disintegrate, that happens every time, but disintegrate two creatures.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
But
my mistake.
The thing was...
The thing was in this?
Yeah.
It was an alien. Did it look like Russell? what the hell's his name?
Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell. Did it look like Kurt Russell when it came through the pod?
No, it was a cat and a baboon. And there was another one that I only saw in, the drawings, the pre-visualizations that they do before they bother spending money filming a scene, in which at the end of the cat slash baboon scene, he crawls up out of the lab up onto the roof. And he starts looking at his side. Do you remember at some point in the movie he's crawling around on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Thanks to that big gimbal set.
Yeah.
And he points to his side and says, "What's this? I don't know." You know, he's talking to Veronica. Well, it turns out a little bit later after the baboon thing, an insect, you know, arm thrusts itself up out of his rib cage, and that's what that was. And he tears it off and looks at it horrified.
Oh, nice.
And he falls down into a dumpster in pain. And then a short scene followed after that where a homeless woman discovers him eating something in the dumpster. And he grabs her and then, you know, does his, honey drop or whatever they called it, the fly drop, onto her face or whatever. And that's the only time he actually consumes another living sentient being for, you know, sustenance. But that was, that, they decided not to pursue
How
that.
How does Brundlefly eat?
Oh boy. God, I remember seeing that as a kid and being physically ill.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
you were a pussy. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a little kid, you know. Well, this came out when I was like 10, 11 years old. So, I don't know. It was one of the very first really gory, scary movies I had ever seen. So I, you know, I didn't grow up from like age 5 or whatever you did seeing all kinds of stuff, you know.
One of my first horror movies was Poltergeist, seeing the guy's face, the guy tearing his own face off and stuff. Yeah, that's what I grew up on. So the fly wasn't so bad to me. All right. What can we say about the fly here?
Lots. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed the creature effects from this one. It stands out as like one of the best. This is a fantastic example of what you can do with practical effects that just would not be as enthralling or scary if they were CGI.
Absolutely. I agree completely. You know, he starts his normal buff self. He goes through the first time, and he's a little sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
The next time we see him, he starts getting little face blemishes, little skin blemishes. It's a very gradual change at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the prickly hairs on his back from the cut that he received. And it's a very gradual change, and then all of a sudden, boom! He's a human cancer cell.
I like this a whole lot better than, you know, oh, we're just going to pop his head off and put a fly head on, you know?
It's right.
It's definitely a lot more gradual, a lot more build up.
At least he's not communicating by knocking.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I like that, you know, it's supposed to take place over several weeks. You know, it's like a month and a half the whole movie takes place over.
Yeah, when he tells her to go away and then the next time he calls her, it's like, what, 2 or 3 weeks later?
Yeah. And they do a nice jump, you know, in his deformations there. Between the last time you see him and then this time, you know, and he's got like half his organs stored in a medicine cabinet.
Appendages and whatnot.
The Seth Brundle Museum of Memories or whatever it was, Memorial Museum. I can't remember. But, yeah. And then that final bit, oh boy, that has to be one of the best finales ever. I just loved it. I loved it to death. I had to watch it twice when I watched it for this recording, where she, you know, where she's, you know, struggling with him as he's trying to drag her over to the other pod, and then she tears his jaw off.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at that point his body's like, well, I guess we can shrug off this human form now, and all his human flesh just drops off, and there's this horrific
fly
insect
creature.
Oh my God! And it's got the proboscis and everything.
And then just when you think it couldn't get worse.
Oh, boy. Shotgun to the wires. So Veronica is saved, but...
Shotguns to the wire. He opens the door while the transportation system is running. It takes half the pod with him. He comes out the other side. Brundlefly pod creature.
Oh, boy.
Pieces of metal and wire sticking through him. And at that point, Gina Davis's character is holding the shotgun. He puts it up to his head. It's like, no, that's it. Fucking kill me. I'm done.
You know, Veronica had to have really loved him at that point. At that point, if I was in her shoes, I mean, definitely, yes, I will kill you. Blam, it's done. But she struggles with it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, and I noticed. You know, just before we recorded, I watched the ending scene again. And one thing that I will always notice now that kind of makes me raise an eyebrow is she's limply holding the shotgun. You know, she's just like sobbing. No, I can't. She's just limply holding. And then finally, she, you know, he puts the barrel against his head. And she's like, no, I can't. And then she points it up at him, meagerly pulls the trigger, and blam, he's dead, right? That shotgun should have thrown her off her feet and onto her ass.
Or if nothing else, she would have broken her hands.
I know.
With how loosely she was holding But it works. The recoil would have just, oh, my thumb!
I mean, this wasn't, you know, some little kiddie pop gun. This was a, what was it, like a double barrel shotgun?
Yeah.
This was, you know, this was a duck hunting gun.
Because, you know, according to the movies back in the 80s, those were the only types of shotguns.
Yeah.
Double barrel. Because those are just instant death.
Yes. But yeah. Yeah, what an ending. What an ending.
Yes.
And I'm glad they left it there for the theatrical release. I've seen some of the other alternate takes on the ending that involved her waking up in bed after having a nightmare about giving birth to a larva, you know? And she's pregnant and she's sleeping next to, you know, Beardy McAsshole Face.
Yeah.
And
just think Ghostbusters Walter Peck
pretty much
as a magazine exec.
What is it about the beard on a guy in an 80s movie that is just shorthand for asshole? I mean,
we're not talking about bushy beard, we're talking neatly trimmed beard.
Yeah,
on
there's
a rich guy automatically asshole.
That. You know, like what's his name in the Die Hard movie?
Yep.
Exactly like that. And it's just, it just gives off this smug kind of, you know, but it just doesn't, I mean, that's just not something you get off of, like, say, Will Riker on Star Trek TNG, you
right,
know.
That was the 90s, not the 80s.
Barely, barely. So, I mean, there's just something about beards on guys in the 1980s that just, it was shorthand for asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, she wakes up and then, you know, and he reassures her that the baby is his and that she can go back to sleep. It's just a nightmare. And there's some other weird dream sequence where she imagines the baby as being a butterfly.
Really?
Erupting from a cocoon. And they did it with like claymation and it looked very rough and weird. And it was just weird. It didn't go very far. So I'm glad they left it where they did, you know. And I could happily never watch The Fly 2 and just leave it there. You know?
Yeah, Fly 2 wasn't great.
But out of curiosity, I think I will watch The Fly 2 just to see.
I haven't seen it in years.
Me neither. Me neither.
It's not one of the movies I saw in my heavy rotation.
Mm-mm.
you know, there are some times where I'm in the mood to watch sequels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with the first movie and move on to the second one. But that one really hasn't come up for me.
Mm-mm.
It just wasn't that great.
It's hard. It's really hard being a sequel to such a lauded movie.
Yes.
You know, such a fantastic film. It's risky, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean,
no,
unless
the,
you've got
the,
a
the
really
the
unique...
The Fly 2 is, you know, the son of Seth Brundle grows up in... Understudy.
A lab. Yeah, in a
the lab.
Lab.
Understudy for his whole life. And then he starts to metamorphosize into the fly, and then he takes his girlfriend and tries to merge with her. It's the same last half of The Fly, but with teenagers instead of adults.
Yep, pretty much.
It was not good. There you go. I saved you from watching it. Don't watch it.
I think that's the secret... You know, to sequels, you cannot just retell the same story over again without introducing, no, you can't. You can't really tell the same story over again. I think that's why any sequel will flop.
Right.
Pretty much, or fall drastically short of the original's, mm-hmm. you know, height of popularity. It's got to be a continuation that takes the story in a new direction.
Exactly.
That still does honor to the original story and canon.
And not just have a similar story and do something like, oh, I don't know, change the sex of all the characters.
No, you can't.
Ghostbusters rip!
But the remake was a remake,
okay,
not
well,
a continuation.
Not, yeah.
If they had just told the same story over again and said it was the same universe and everything, that would have been different.
I still say it would have been better received as Ghostbusters 3. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe you should play Ghostbusters PC game. I've been told that's the writing and everything on that Ghostbusters PC game is not the new one, the one that came out a few years ago.
Right.
Was pretty much Ghostbusters 3.
All right. Okay, enough of Ghostbusters. I'm done talking about Ghostbusters. You know who else is done talking about Ghostbusters? Everybody.
We all pretty much moved on about how everybody hates the changes to Pokemon Go.
There you go. You know what? It's
that's,
you know,
the new thing to hate on now.
You know, that's the one comment that, like, every reviewer I heard podcast-wise said about Ghostbusters, the remake. It is forgettable.
Mm.
2 weeks after this movie's released, no one's going to be talking about it. And guess what? They're right. Mm. No one's talking about it anymore. Anyway, The Fly!
Fantastic film. Highly recommended.
Highly recommended. It's definitely on my top 20.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Needs to be seen. Right up there with Poltergeist. Right up there with the original Ghostbusters.
The original, the 1980s Kurt Russell, The Thing.
Yes, The Thing. Hellraiser. We need to do the Hellraiser franchise at some point. But there are 9 movies.
Oh, boy.
With a tenth in the works.
Oh, no!
All right. So The Fly, 1986. See it. Let's see. Is it available on Netflix right now? Let me see. Netflix, The Fly. Let's see if that is available.
The Blu-ray is nice. The Blu-ray is very good. It has lots of special features and whatnot. Behind the scenes, and there's like a commentary track, I think. Really, really good. It's a good transfer, too. I've never seen the movie so clearly.
Okay, the original is available for streaming on Netflix. You can get the DVD through Netflix, though. Or Blu-ray, whichever. But, it's not...
It's not on streaming.
Not for streaming. Okay. Not at this time. Maybe Amazon has it for streaming. Let me see. Amazon.com, The Fly. The Fly. See. Blu-ray, blah, 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 blah. Does not look like you can stream it.
Nope.
And if you're really interested in abusing yourself, The Fly 2 does come in a dual DVD. All right, so Fly, good movie.
Mm.
Definitely see it.
And the last note, Gina Davis, she's really cute in this movie.
Oh, God.
They were together when they filmed this.
Yes.
They were a couple. And
He's the one that recommended her for the role.
Yeah, and the director wasn't sure about her at first, but...
she was unknown at the time.
Yeah, so she auditioned, and they auditioned a couple other women, too, but she was the clear, choice there, and they said, okay, let's do it. And it worked. They had a real chemistry there.
You know what I'm finding funny? I'm looking at Amazon.com, looking up The Fly. Refine your search, Amazon Prime or Amazon Pantry. I don't want flies in my pantry. Let's see what happens when they hit pantry.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, when it hits pantry, it comes up with, fly deterrents. All right.
Okay.
I was going to say, I don't want the fly in my pantry. What the hell? Okay, so next week, what do you want to do next week? Do you want to do Society?
Yeah, that looked interesting to me.
And you have not seen Society.
No, I haven't. This will be the first time.
Okay.
I think I've seen the box art somewhere from my Blockbuster days, but no, I never took it in.